Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Forgiveness. We Christians often speak of forgiveness. When we offer prayers of confession, we ask for forgiveness. We ask God to forgive us. But what is forgiveness? Let's get back down to basics, the stuff we all know. Let's say that you have done something bad to me. I'm not saying that you have, but it's all hypothetical, you understand. Anyway, let's say that you've given the whole thing some thought, and you feel bad about it. Is there anything that can be done about it? Yes, as it turns out, there is something you can do about it. You can ask for my forgiveness. In this case, I have the power of forgiveness, and I can decide whether or not to give it to you. The same thing is true, of course, in the other direction. If I had done something bad to you, and I feel bad about it, I can ask for your forgiveness. And in this case, of course, the power dynamic is reversed, and it is up to you to decide whether or not to forgive me. In either scenario, the wronged party is the party that has the power of forgiveness. Isn't that interesting? This is pretty basic stuff, but there's a profound spiritual truth hiding here in plain sight. Usually, when power is applied in a relationship, we assume that the person who is wielding the power is the assertive, aggressive person in the relationship. And in most cases, we would be correct in that assumption. The bully in the schoolyard has the power to beat up the wimpy kid. The person with the AR-15 has the power to shoot an unarmed person. The country with the biggest military has the power to destroy the country with a smaller military. And that, it seems, is the normal order of things. Power follows strength. But in the case of forgiveness, it's not the aggressor who has the power. In the case of forgiveness, it is the person who has been wronged, the vulnerable person, the person who has been hurt, who is in the position of power. So when you think about it, forgiveness takes the normal order of things and flips it on its head. In the case of forgiveness, power follows something else. What is it? If it's not strength, is it the opposite? Is it weakness? I don't think so, not exactly. But forgiveness follows something. Perhaps Jesus can help us figure it out. Turning our attention to the reading from the Gospel of John that Sarah just read for us, we find the risen Christ in company with his disciples. And the text says that he breathed on his disciples and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." When I read these words, I immediately am aware that the word forgiveness has a different sound to it when it appears in the Bible. This is not the garden variety forgiveness that we are called upon to give for minor infractions in our daily lives, like eating the last plum in the icebox, as we have seen in the poem in by William Carlos Williams in today's Poetry Corner. Let us remember that at the critical junctures in the life of Jesus Christ, forgiveness appears as a central concern. Remember when John the Baptist appears to foretell the appearance of the Messiah, he proclaims to the people of Jerusalem that a baptism of repentance is coming for the forgiveness of sins. And remember the parable of the prodigal son? In one of his most memorable parables, Christ tells the story of a child forgiven by his father. And do you remember this? Even as he is in the very act of dying a brutal, brutal death by crucifixion, Christ cries out, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Today's reading from the Gospel of John brings this emphasis on forgiveness to yet a higher dimension of concern, because now, even after his resurrection from death, Christ still emphasizes this central concern: forgiveness. Remembering all this leads us to an interesting observation, because we just got done establishing, quite logically, I think, that the power of forgiveness differs from other kinds of power because it does not lie in the hands of the powerful. Forgiveness is a power that is in the hands of the wronged, the vulnerable, the hurt, the broken. If this is the case, how do we account for the Gospels? What are we to think when our tradition tells us that the ultimate power in the universe, the God who lit the stars at the farthest reaches of the universe, who knit us all in our mother's wombs and gave us the saints and the prophets, who acted in history to change our histories, that this most powerful divinity chose to come to us and walk with us in this world for the forgiveness of sins? Isn't that amazing? That power that has no equal in the universe wanted to teach us about a particular kind of power. And what kind of power was it? Did God come to teach us how to be tyrants? No. Did God come to teach us how to build a nuclear bomb? No. Did God come to teach us how to build a wall? No. Our religious tradition teaches us that the one time in history when God chose to become a human and share our common lot, God did so not to force us to believe or even coerce us to be obedient. God, whose power fills the universe, came to us to teach us to forgive. To forgive. And need I remind you of how God taught us how to forgive? In his letter to the Philippians, Paul reminds us that though Jesus was in the form of God, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. But why? Why would God go to the cross to teach us about forgiveness? Why is forgiveness so important? Or to return to the question that we turned to Jesus to help us answer, what does forgiveness follow? If power follows strength, what does forgiveness follow? Remember when Jesus was nailed to the tree, remember what he cried out with his last breath. "Father, forgive them," he cried, "for they do not know what they are doing." Forgiveness follows something far greater than mere strength. It follows truth. It calls us to be honest. Bullets may wound us. Walls may imprison or exclude us. Bombs may kill us. But these brutish flailings will never bring love and justice to the world. These are the easy ways out. They are the ways of bullies and tyrants. But if we are Christians, these ways, the ways of bullies and tyrants, are not our ways, because we remember the way that Jesus taught us, which is the hard way, the way of discipleship and the way of the cross. This is the way of forgiveness, the way that follows love. Amen.